Morning paper comes out tomorrow, boys. What do you think the bigger story is going to be? Us returning to the mics or Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's engagement?
Ugh. I knew he was going to start with this.
Oh, I hate it so much.
Why are you guys piling on this soon? I'm only trying to capitalize on maybe the biggest story on the internet.
Because right we now. Literally haven't seen you in months. You go off the podcast and then you go AWOL. It's like, were you missing in action? Were you caught?
Don't act like that. Yeah.
Did your wife file a missing persons report?
Don't act like you guys have been doing stuff behind the scenes.
I've done a lot. I've actually lived a lot of life behind the scenes.
Whoa.
Your resident Hoosier is no longer a Hoosier. Thank you very much. That's actually the biggest report on the newspaper tomorrow. Corey's
back in the Michigan. Back in the D.
The D is back in.
Oh, gosh. This is a family show. Wow.
You guys have problems.
No, Alex is a problem.
Yeah.
And we didn't even.
Corey's a pastor. Alex, you need Christ.
I do need Christ. I do need
How
Christ.
How about seek Christ?
Maybe seek Christ. How do I stop looking at my cousin's yes at family gatherings?
I don't know, maybe
at family reunions. I don't know, maybe seek Christ.
So this has actually turned out to be my favorite cold open because it's just us making fun of Alex. He started with Taylor Swift. Little did he know.
Yeah, he says, guys, what about Taylor Swift? And we're like, hey, you're dumb.
I don't know why I do this with you guys.
Because you love us?
Oh, shut up. I do not.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to say from the bottom of our hearts, welcome back to Big Banter.
We're sorry for the absence. Life happens.
Yeah,
for sure. But football's back. Football is back.
So we're back.
We all were super, super excited. And then I think we went into a deep state of like, depression and hibernation, because not only did the football season end, but our biggest rival won the national championship. But it came after losing to us.
And they literally needed them to triple the playoff field in order to even get in.
Yeah. So we will dive into that a little bit later on in the season. Once playoff standings become a little bit more relevant, we're going to get into that. But today, what we wanted to do for you guys. So real quick, we've made a little bit of a change to the show, to the dynamic of the show. We are not giving you as the listeners enough of what's really going on in college football. Are we going to keep it Big Ten centric? Yes. What are we going to start off with today? We are going to start off with each of our top five in the Big Ten going into the season. Our top five predictions for the Big Ten and who out of that top five we think are going to make the playoff. So after that, we are going to go into just the biggest games of the week. Obviously, a lot of the times that is going to involve Big Ten teams. Obviously, this week, Ohio State, Texas, we're going to spend a lot of time on that. We are not going to be breaking down and giving to you every single Big Ten game every single week. It just doesn't make for a good listening experience.
I'm hearing this for the first time.
If you're wondering what is going to, if you're wondering what's happening Maryland, Texas State.
This is Rutgers.
I don't know.
This is Rutgers erasure. This is exactly what this is.
And you know what? If you're wanting to hear all three of us break down the Rutgers game, you're not going to. That's not going to happen anymore.
This is a mutiny.
We are going to give you what you want, which is the big games in college football, along with a strong draw towards the Big Ten. We are still going to talk about things Big Ten. We are still going to be a Big Ten-centric podcast. That is what we are going to focus on. However, we also want to talk about the biggest games that are going on each week and the biggest storylines that are happening each week within college football, and maybe how it affects the Big Ten and or where in the Big Ten those types of things are happening.
So we're going to talk about everything with a heavy Big Ten bias.
Well, obviously, it's the best conference in the world. So
we are Big Ten's Paul Feinbaum.
Now that paying players became legal, the Big Ten was like, all right, we're going to be good now.
We have smart, all of a sudden, we have smart people money. We have CEO money.
We're gonna
all of a sudden Indiana and Illinois were like, hey, we can function. We've got a lot of rich alumni. Mark Cuban. When is Mark Cuban gonna start throwing money at that program? How long do they have to be good before that?
Well, they just got a huge stadium renovation. Like just now.
Did he pay for any of that?
I don't know, but now they have like a big like stadium sponsor. It's like a credit union or something at Memorial Field.
I think Kurt Cignetti is going to have to go on Shark Tank.
Ooh. Honestly,
I'm here seeking $190 million from you, Mark Cuban, to give to me to buy the best players.
Wouldn't that be?
We're going to give you a national championship ring.
Listen. This week's episode is all about the rebrand. What if you just rebranded Shark Tank and it was just college football NIL Shark Tank?
That is actually kind of sick. That is actually
ratings. Like already college football like brings in some astronomical ratings. Can you imagine putting that on the BBC?
Oh yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, preach to the people, Corey. Yeah,
like the college football is taking over the world now, and it's all in the hands of.
All right, listen. 24 years. we're gonna dive right into it, boys. We're gonna get right into it. I feel pretty strongly about my top five for the Big Ten. Now, what I want from the two of you, your Big Ten top five, and which of those teams are making the playoff? Okay, that is what I want from you. Do I have a volunteer for somebody to start us off? Or do you want me to go first?
I say Alex goes first because we haven't heard from him.
Oh, you're volunteering. I love that. Alex, you get to go first. I love you.
I can do that. I can go first. I told you guys, I dove into all this stuff in the last couple weeks. I kind of nerded out and created like an entire Excel spreadsheet like with team profiles, and it's kind of nasty if you're into this stuff. So how deep are we diving? Are we just kind of listing these off and then moving on to the next guy?
So start from the bottoms, start from your fifth team. And then what I want you to do, I want you to start from team five. And then as soon as you get to now, like you're saying, I think there's a good chance this team makes the playoff. If that's at team four,
okay.
You know, if that's at team three, you let us know. Dive into it. Let me know. Let me know who and let me know why. Because the top five in the Big Ten is really, really interesting to me. Because
it is.
I think the bottom two on that list are very, very interchangeable. And I'm really interested to see how you guys broke it down.
Okay. Well, I can tell I'm not going to have the same bottom two. Let's start off hot, boys. In my record predictions, as the fifth best team in the Big Ten, I have Ohio State. I have Ohio State going 9-3. I see both your faces. And I know anyone listening to this is like screaming Michigan bias at their phones or at their radios. I think there's a very, very strong case to be made that the variance of what Ohio State could be this year is large. The range of outcomes is vast. Because think about this. They're losing their entire defensive line. They are losing their starting quarterback. They're losing both of their leading rushers. Although I did see a weird story that Quinshon Judkins could come back to college potentially because he hasn't signed his rookie deal. But I'm assuming that's not happening. They're replacing a lot of their offensive line. replacing both of their coordinators. I forget if I said that part. But there is much
Matt
new.
Matt Patricia, I keep forgetting he's there. Maybe you're right.
Thank you. Jim Knowles, the best defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive coordinators in college football, left Ohio State to go to Penn State. Chip Kelly, who did a fantastic job calling that offense last year, is now back in the NFL. And they promoted Hartline from within. So I'm not saying Ohio State is devoid of talent, but there is so much new stuff. And let's not forget that in the regular season last year, Ohio State went 10-2. They lost two games with that stacked roster and those awesome coordinators. Now they replace all of it, and suddenly people think, yeah, it's same old Ohio State. They're going to go 11-1. I just think the range of outcomes is wild.
To further your point, now Ohio State for a long time, even before the transfer portal, was always a team that just reloaded, right? There was they just put more in the cannon and were ready to go. 14 players to the NFL. You know, in a different way, we saw what that did to Michigan. Michigan replaced their entire coaching staff, top to bottom as well. So a little different. Ryan Day's still there. I do understand what you're saying. And the more I think about it after I heard you say it, because at first I was like, oh, come on, you know, crazy. But having them at 9-3 and the fifth team in the Big Ten having a 9-3 record, does that get them in the playoff?
I don't think it would. I don't think they'd have the wins, because they would lose to Texas. They would lose to Penn State. I would also have them losing to Michigan. Their big wins would be at Illinois and at Washington. So it's possible, but it would be a very hard sell to get five teams from the Big Ten in the playoff.
They do play at Illinois this year, correct?
Correct. Illinois and Washington are both road games, so they would have that going for them. But
I think there's a chance they lose that. I think there's a chance they lose to Illinois on the road.
That's what I'm saying, guys. That's what I'm saying.
But then you could throw in, say, they beat Michigan or something like that. You know,
you could.
There's variables. I agree. There's variables.
I agree. But let me get through the rest of my list. I don't want to take up too much time. So at number four, I have Illinois. I have Illinois going 10-2. I think they're kind of a trendy pick for the college football playoff. They rank fourth nationally in returning production. They have their starting quarterback, Luke Altmyer, coming back, who I was very sneaky impressed with him last year. He was kind of nasty. They did lose a lot of offensive weapons, and they're going to need the offensive line to play better. They let up a lot of sacks last year, but if they can course correct a little bit and get Luke Altmyer playing at another level, they have a lot of returning production from a really solid team. All five of the offensive line coming back. I have Illinois going 10-2 and making the playoff. So from here on out, these teams are making the playoff. I have Michigan going 11-1. I'm not even you guys believe that, but when you look at this schedule, this is not so much about the team and the talent as it is the schedule. I have them losing early on the road at Oklahoma. You've got a freshman starting quarterback. You're going on the road into a tough environment. That one's going to be a very tough game to come out of with a win. The rest of this season, the toughest team they will play besides Ohio State, you're probably going to argue is USC on the road.
Don't we play Illinois?
We do not play Illinois. No. That's what I'm saying. This is the weird part about Michigan's schedule. They play
Nebraska on the road. We play at Nebraska. I was trying to get you guys to buy tickets to that game.
We play at Nebraska, which, again, some people are really trendy about Nebraska being a playoff team. I need to see more from them, but it's definitely
They return a lot of production.
Yeah, but they're losing their DC, and their defense kept them in a lot of games last year because their offense didn't produce. I think it's
Dylan Raiola needs to take a monstrous leap. I think we can all agree on that.
If they're going to make the playoff, he has to do that. But if he does not, Nebraska could very well be a similar football team to what they
if they're going to win 9 games, if they're going to win 8 or 9 games, they need him to improve drastically.
I think correct. With Nebraska, with Raiola, it's going to be not the same player, but the same arc as far as it's going to be how we like looked at Drew Aller's arc. They're not the same player, but what I'm talking about is their same progression. Like Drew Aller is being looked at the way that he's being looked at right now as like a top Big Ten quarterback because of this production that he's stayed along on this course. Not the same player, not the same skill set, but I think a quarterback like Raiola is going to need a little bit more seasoning before that he himself can be a difference maker into what Nebraska will be for the entirety of the season. We saw flashes of it last year, but then the bottom fell out like completely, and he looked, you know, not like the quarterback he looked like in the first half of the year. If he can get some consistency this year and then going into next year, I think the trendiness of the Nebraska pick will look better next year than as opposed to this year, if that makes any sort of sense, because of his progression.
Yeah, my last two teams are going to be fairly chalky. I've got Oregon at second in the Big Ten, going 11-1. Not a whole lot to say. They're obviously loaded with talent, but they've had a couple of key wide receiver injuries in the offseason, and they're also having a quarterback change, and they need some offensive line transfers to hit. So, you know, if those things go the wrong way, you could see them a little bit below that. But at tops in the Big Ten, I have Penn State. I have Penn State going undefeated. I think they have a team that is built very similar to the Michigan teams that won Big Ten, the three Big Ten championships in a row, to where even if you're not the biggest believer in Drew Aller, which I am not, I don't think he will have to do a lot in order for this team to reach its height. So that's my top five.
Honestly, I'll go next. Corey, do you want to go last or do you want to go next?
Up to you, big shoots.
Okay. All right. I'll take the reins because mine is definitely different for sure. We can say that. I like a lot of the points that you brought up about Ohio State, Alex. I will say that, because losing 14 players to the NFL and then also having to do the coordinator turnover and everything. I mean, as a Lions fan, I've been down the Matt Patricia alleyway, and he knows a lot more about defense. That's for sure. I can absolutely say, but there's a lot of stuff. There are a lot of variants. There's a lot of stuff going on preseason to take into account. So without further ado, my top five. I did not give records. I'll throw in some records in there, but it's all right. My number five team, and this has to do a lot with the fact that I look at who they play and or lack thereof. And I mean, look at Indiana's schedule. I mean, have either one of you looked at Indiana's schedule?
They play Cornerstone University week one, and Cornerstone doesn't have a football team.
They play at home against Illinois. They play at Oregon, and they play at Penn State. Okay? So if they can go 1-2 in those games, if they can go 1-2, we are talking about Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Iowa, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Wisconsin, Purdue. Were there any teams in there that I just listed off where you're like, oh yeah, that's going to be a real tough game for Indiana? They don't play anybody. They have three games where they need to go 1-3 in those games. I honestly think that this has to be the year where the committee says, yes, you went 10-2. No, you're not getting into the playoff. It has to be.
You know that won't happen, though.
I really hope you're wrong.
The playoffs too big to allow a team that goes 10-2 in a big conference to not make
especially
it.
Especially the
Big Ten. I hope you guys are wrong. I'm going to say that right now. And I'm ranking them as far as like kind of how good I think the teams are, not necessarily what the record's going to be. So keep that in mind as we go down the list. I did mine a little bit differently, but that's okay. That's why we did it. It's so that we can see how everybody plays out. My number four team, I have Illinois. I really like the roster. I'm so afraid of their offensive line. I'm really, really terrified. Luke Altmyer got his teeth kicked in last season. The fact that he played as much as he did with how under duress he was is kind of incredible. I really like the fact that this team has a huge chunk of their roster returning. You don't see it much in college football nowadays, but where have you seen it? You've seen it with Michigan, won a national championship. You've seen it with Ohio State, won a national championship. The teams that are able to keep the core players intact, I believe, have a much better chance. And once again, you go down the schedule list with Illinois. They play at Indiana, and they play at home against Ohio State. Period. End. I think Wisconsin's garbage. I think Luke Fickell's getting fired at the end of the season.
You would be correct about the first of those things. I don't know about Luke Fickell, but yes, Wisconsin is going to be so bad.
I think he's getting fired. I really do.
Do you guys know who their quarterback is? It's Billy Edwards, the guy who backed
up. Oh yeah.
No, it's not.
The guy who backed up Talia at Maryland.
Yeah, and he was rumored to go to Michigan too, and then he wanted to play. So good for him.
He's their starter.
Yeah, go somewhere where you're going to play. I get that. I mean they play at Washington. That can be tough. That's a tough place to play. Traveling all the way to the opposite coast.
Are we back to play Illinois?
Back to Illinois. They travel to Washington. I think Illinois has a really, really good chance to win 10 games. I really do.
To your point about the returning production and the sacks, like you said, normally you're like, if a team returns all five starting linemen from the previous
You're so happy.
Unheard of. Illinois is returning all five of their starters. They were
you wish they weren't.
Correct. They were 93rd in the country in sacks allowed last year.
Now here's and I was already going to make this point, so I appreciate you bringing that up. In college football, no position gets better year over year than offensive line. No position gets better like an offensive lineman in college. So I am saying putting a year of seasoning on all five of those guys is going to be a positive. If you can take that and go from 90th to somewhere in even the 40s, 50s, returning all those guys together, you've got yourself a winning recipe, especially I already talked about the schedule. All right. And I think Illinois makes the playoff. I think Illinois is going to make the playoff. So my number three team, you can make an argument for any of these three schools to be 1, 2, 3. I think you're going to be hard pressed to make me feel like Ohio State should be any higher than three. I really struggle with how much they lost on offense, how much they lost on defense, the senior leadership that they had on that team. Say what you want about Will Howard, senior guy, leader. You've got Jackson Sawyer gone. A lot of these guys are young dudes who there are going to be asked to shoulder a huge load, including a quarterback who, what has he done in college so far? Nothing. He hasn't played. You're asking a guy to come in who hasn't played and be, oh, hey, you're taking over for, you know, national championship team. Here you go. Oh, and by the way, you get Texas week one.
And depending on what you thought about Will Howard, this is also a guy who didn't beat out Will Howard for the starting job.
Exactly. And I do think that there is an element to it as well where I'm talking specifically, we'll get more into the week one game a little later on, but I think that plays into it big for me. I think Ohio State's going to go 10-2. I look at their schedule. I think they lose week one. If they win week one, all bets are off. If they win week one, they could be the best team in the country. If they find a way to pull that out, they're favored in that game. People, take those points. Take those points. That's what I'm saying here. Okay. Because we're going to get more into it later, but they play Texas week one. They don't have another tough game after that until like week six at Illinois. Then they play at home against Penn State 2 weeks later. And then they have to go to Michigan. And it doesn't necessarily feel like we should even have to mention that. But the fact that you've lost four straight to your biggest rival, including as a 20-point favorite
against a team,
there's something going on there. So I'm saying 10-2 for Ohio State. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt when I say that because I think Ryan Day is a really good coach. I think Ryan Day is a very good football coach. I also think that there's a really good chance that this team could lose three games. I truly do. Now, like I said, I'm ranking these teams as far as how good I think they are as a team. I struggled with that number five slot. I really wanted to put Michigan there. I really wanted to put Michigan at number five. However, we move on. Number two, I'm putting Oregon. You have Dante Moore as your starting quarterback. Enough said. What has Dante Moore done at the collegiate level that makes you think that's a guy who's really ready to lead a team to a national championship? And that's what Oregon, like Dan Lanning, for all the smack that we talk about Penn State and about what Franklin has done at Penn State and lack thereof, yes, Dan Lanning beat Ohio State in the regular season last year. He then proceeded to get his pants taken off by Ohio State when it mattered most. So when are we going to ask Dan Lanning to win the biggest game? Is that coming sooner? Is that coming later? Because we give a lot of flack to James Franklin. And granted, James Franklin has been at Penn State longer than Dan Lanning's been at Oregon. But he's been established at Oregon for a while now. I mean, we are talking about all his guys.
We give Dan Lanning the credit because he has won the big game. He hasn't won the biggest game. And then that's the thing that, you know, eventually got to Harbaugh for a minute, right? But how can you look at a guy like Dan Lanning and then compare him to a guy like James Franklin, who has never won the big game in his tenure at all, never even sniffed the national championship?
As my rebuttal to that, I'll say this. You had a chance two different times in the same season to beat Washington to play for a national championship. Both times you were 10-plus point favorites. You lost both outright.
Sure. Sure, that was in the past, and then the next year after that, he goes into a new conference, and he runs the table in the regular season. Like, we can't discredit that either. Yes, he beat Ohio State at home. That makes a difference, but you still beat Ohio State, and were able to maintain a perfect Big Ten conference record while still winning those big games, not having an easy schedule either, and winning the conference outright.
for me specifically,
James Franklin and beat him.
For me, the way that Ohio State game in the playoff unfolded left a really bad taste in my mouth. And I think that's okay to say. I think it's okay to ask, when is Dan Lanning going to win the whole thing? Because that's next on the docket for them. They've done everything else.
Sure.
Same thing with James Franklin. While they haven't done everything else, they haven't beaten Ohio State in the regular season or Michigan. They need to do one of the two. Or Oregon.
And I take However, and I think I know your number one team, otherwise.
Yeah, it's Michigan, obviously. No, number one, I've got Penn State. It's really by process of elimination.
It is time.
That it, if not now, then when? If not now, then when? They have, guys, I want to make this very, very clear. If Penn State, if you took away the logo, if you took away the fact that it's Penn State, if you put Texas, if you put Oklahoma, if you put Ohio State, if you put Michigan, if you put Alabama, if you put any of those teams, if you put that logo on the roster that that team has, they would be plus 150 preseason to win the national championship. That roster, everybody was talking about Ohio State's roster. Do you remember the conversations we had at the beginning of last season about, oh my gosh, Ohio State's roster, it's so disgusting. They have to win it all. And they lost to Oregon and to Michigan, but then they did win it all. So they got the Natty, which that is huge. Penn State's roster is better than that team. I said it. Their roster's better.
Than what team?
Than Ohio State's roster last year.
Oh, no,
you're crazy.
Sir.
Their roster's better.
No, sir.
Their running back room is number one in the country. Their defense is far and away number one in the country. I don't want to hear an argument to the contrary. Their defense, sir, is disgusting.
Sir. Go ahead. I don't disagree that this defense is going to be really good, but this is also a defense that lost Abdul Carter to the NFL draft. This is a defense that, if you're comparing this to last year's Ohio State, Ohio State had the best player in the country, regardless of position, playing on their defense, and Caleb Downs. They had,
whoa. Caleb Downs wasn't even the best player on that team.
Bro, Caleb Downs might be the best football player in college football, playing safety at Ohio State. He's nasty, bro. He's nasty. He's probably going to be – he will be drafted like Jamal Adams was out of LSU.
I think Jeremiah Smith is the best player on that team.
You could argue one or the other, but that team was disgusting. They had so many people coming back.
I agree. I'm telling you how good I think this Penn State team really is, talent-wise.
So you think this Penn State team will have as many or more players drafted than last year's Ohio State team? I don't think
so. I'd have to look at who's senior, who's eligible. Who's eligible to be drafted?
I don't think it'll
be. I'd have to look at that.
And then you'll get both of those running backs drafted at some point, but they just won't be as high of picks as some of the other defensive.
Yeah, but Ohio State, I would take.
You would take Judkins and Henderson over both of the over Allen and.
No way.
Not necessarily over, but I think it's a coin flip.
Well, it's
Allen's better than both of those guys. Granted, they had a two-headed monster, but and so does Penn State. But Allen's a freak of nature.
Okay, Ethan, I just want to go back to your point about, like, take away the logo. Okay, I understand that, like, and having the best roster, but Penn State is the one team that you can't do that. Penn State's problem the entire 5 year straight has never been about the roster. It's never been about the roster. It is always fallen on the leadership and coaching. So are you going to say this year that Jim Knowles, because I want to talk about that being the biggest difference. They've had the best roster, or they've had a top, you know, five, top three roster. Is the leadership there now? What makes you think it's going to be any different?
I think that at some point, talent just can take over. We've seen it. We've seen it with Ohio State. We've seen it with, I mean,
technically it did.
Michigan's raw. Michigan. Yeah, we did. We really kind of did with Michigan. I mean, that team was just absolutely loaded. And I think this team is too. And you just can't get in the way of yourself. James Franklin has to stop getting in his own way. It's what Harbaugh did. Harbaugh stopped getting in his own way. Well, he kept getting in his own way by getting suspended during the season and cheating and all that kind of stuff. But he got out of his own way by just saying, you know what? I'm going to keep it so simple. I'm going to run the football and I'm going to play elite defense. And that's what they did. And eventually that just breaks college teams. If you're able to out-talent them, you can do that. I have Penn State number one, obviously making the playoff. I think there is a very good chance that Penn State can go undefeated to get to the playoff. I'll say they go 11-1. It's really hard to win all your games. It's very, very difficult to win all your games. But I mean, you take a look at their schedule. They play versus Oregon. They play Oregon at home. That's a night game at home to kick off the Big Ten slate for them, September 27th. The rest of their games, they play at Ohio State on November 1st. They play at home against Indiana. That's it, folks. That's it. If Nebraska's good, they get Nebraska at home. So they get Oregon at home. They go to Ohio State. And you better find a way to win that game. Let me be the first to say, as somebody who has them listed as the number one team in the Big Ten, you better find a way to win that game. You must. Corey.
Well, I'll keep mine brief, but lists are relatively the same to you guys with a very big exception. I'm putting Illinois at slot five. For this team, and you guys are going to go crazy. Washington, the number five team in the Big Ten for me this year, simply because
I was going between Indiana. You know what? I swap out Indiana. Take out Indiana.
No, whoa.
I'm putting in Michigan, not Washington.
Okay.
Not Washington.
Okay.
I'm putting in Michigan at five over Indiana, just because I hate their schedule that much.
Why did you interrupt him and not even talk about Washington?
No, I said I like his Washington pick. I was debating between those three teams to put it five.
He just had another thought. So Illinois on the outside looking in, I still can't trust Brett Bielema. With this in mind, Brett Bielema is, as far as like old school Big Ten coach, we've talked about it in previous episodes, one of the few coaches that actually has a Big Ten championship under his belt. But when has Brett Bielema ever lived up to the expectations that his season has given him for his team and roster? Hasn't been in a while. And so now he has an expectation of being a dark horse college football playoff pick. I don't see it. Even in, like we were talking about with the offensive line, I don't see it. Washington, have you taken a look at Washington's roster? Either of you?
Bro. Washington's low-key kind of nasty, Washington, and their quarterback is going to be wild.
I remember watching the Michigan game, and they had – I don't even remember who Washington's quarterback was, but the only thing that they could talk about was, man, Washington loves this Williams Jr. kid, and they cannot wait for him to take over this offense and take over the helm to lead this team. And guess what? They surrounded him with a roster that is, like, no joke, 90% juniors and seniors. Like, these are –
I love that. I love that.
Men playing out on the West Coast. And Washington, they were talking about it. I'll bring in baseball just a little bit. They were talking about how it's really difficult to play in Seattle for the Mariners because it's so far away from literally anything. You can make the argument for Oregon, it being like just one state below. But given the location of Washington, and especially in a Big Ten conference where majority of the teams lie in the Midwest, you drag anybody out there in the middle of the season, that's going to be a really tough place to play. That environment is crazy. They love the Huskies. It's like the Seahawks and Washington Huskies football. Like, that's what they live and breathe out there. I think they're going to surprise somebody. They're going to steal one of those big wins that they have at home. I think, does Ohio State travel out there? Maybe. That's a dark horse, I think, upset watch that I would be paying attention to.
Yeah. Let me give you a quick overview for who's going to Washington. Let me find them. Here we go.
Ohio State does travel to Washington.
Ohio State
and
Illinois.
They do it to kick off the Big Ten season. Ohio State's first Big Ten game is at Washington.
So you have Ohio State in a bout with Texas to start the year, and then your first Big Ten game is all the way out on the West Coast. Those are some two really difficult games when you're trying to figure out what your team, let alone your starting quarterback, is going to look like throughout the season. Watch out for Washington, because they're going to be a really sneaky team throughout this Big Ten season. Number four, I have Michigan.
Well, what? Washington
makes
their new their defensive coordinator.
No,
anyone?
No, you go.
Ryan Walters.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
Wow.
Ex-elite defensive coordinator from Illinois who got the shaft at Purdue.
He did.
Is now calling the defense.
I didn't even think about that, and I didn't even think about what I really wanted to say. Jed Fish, who turned around Arizona, which is just traditionally a dog water football program. Now this is where we're going to see what he's really made of. Can he turn this Washington football program back to its relevancy, at least in the early stages of the college football playoff? I believe that he can, because we saw a little bit of signs of it in last year's first season of Big Ten play. So watch out for Washington. Number four, I have Michigan. Yes, it's the biased pick, mostly based off of their schedule. And we saw what they could do. It's all going to come down to Bryce Underwood. Like, it really is. We saw what Michigan could do. Yes, they had studs. They had three what should have been first-round draft picks on that defensive side of the ball, in Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, and then Will Johnson fell to the other to the second, or I think it was second round, late second round or middle second round. If Bryce Underwood is just serviceable or good, I think that the culture has been built and has been able to withstand some of like the drama that is there, to where Michigan will just be like a solid team from here on out. And their schedule does do them a lot of favors. Oklahoma going down into SEC country for your second game of the year. Yes, Bryce Underwood will be tested. I don't expect them to win that game, but if it is anywhere remotely close and Oklahoma can be a serviceable to middle of the pack SEC football team this year, given the rest of their schedule, I think Michigan bodes incredibly, incredibly well. I don't believe in Nebraska. I've talked myself out of it throughout, you know, these past few weeks. I don't think Raiola is ready. And I think Matt Rhule is just going to take a little bit longer to continue to develop that program. But other than that, what scares you?
What scares me for Michigan specifically is the fact that they only play six games at home. Sure. That is really tough for a college football team, which, by the way, they normally play eight.
That's fair.
Okay. They normally play eight out of their 12 games at home. When you are going six on the road and six at home, NFL schedules ain't for the faint of heart. Okay. Playing on the road, when you go and play, when you start playing road games, especially like traveling to Washington, we saw it last year, didn't exactly go how you wanted as a Michigan fan. You go to Nebraska. These places have incredible environments that are really difficult to play in. it was why I was teetering on Michigan being in that top five or not, because playing six road games with a freshman quarterback, a true freshman starting quarterback, difficult.
It is very difficult, but I will follow that up with they go to Northwestern this year, but they play it at Wrigley Field. The alumni base for the University of Michigan is massive in Chicago, like a lot of those Midwest schools. That's going to be a de facto home game for them. I don't care what you say. Like, it's close. Michigan fans are going to be like, this is like a destination spot. And maybe you could even make an argument for USC, but I'm not actually going to put that as my argument because it's so far away. But like, it's like a destination thing, and Michigan fans do travel well. So I
traveling to the West Coast, though, is just difficult. It's just difficult with the time change and everything. It's really hard.
Again, it all stems on Bryce Underwood. If he is as good as this 5-star plus rating that he is, or if he's even half as good, I do think Michigan will be very successful this year. At number three, I have Ohio State. I'm just sick of these guys, but they have a culture to back up everything that they do. And when was the last time that they had a quarterback who just sucked? It seems like it's been like 20 years. So Cyan is a redshirt freshman, so he has a year under his belt. Like, we made the argument earlier that he couldn't beat out Will Howard in camp last year. Yeah, he was a true freshman quarterback, and Will Howard had already made a stop at Kansas State, a Power 5 school. So it's just they seem to hit all the time with quarterbacks. Doesn't matter if they transfer in. Doesn't matter if they're recruited. Doesn't matter if they found a bum off the street like Cardale Jones. Does not matter. They can pick and play with their quarterbacks, and it's just unreal. I think they'll be fine. I think their tough schedule will really give them fits, but they are in a just mental bout with Michigan, and we saw that with last year's game. And strangely enough, I feel the most confident I've ever felt as a Michigan fan going into the Ohio State game, because it's like we just saw the unthinkable happen. It was literally the biggest upset in the history of this rivalry with Michigan, who didn't know how to throw a forward pass, and we're playing football back in like the 1880s with that game. So I have Ohio State at three. I don't know. They're not better than these two. Penn State, they're number two. I refuse to put Penn State at number
Dante
one.
Dante Moore.
Let me finish. Penn State, you have to prove it to me. That was with Michigan. That was with every other team that we saw in the Big Ten, like in Ohio State, after they took some lumps against Michigan. They're like, you're in prove it mode now to win this national championship, to get over the hump against Michigan, which kind of sucks because they lost to Michigan and then they won the national championship. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You have to prove it to me. No one was ever giving Michigan a shot to beat Ohio State until they did it. Penn State has not been able to get over the Ohio State hump, and now you're telling me that they're finally going to do it for the first time when it matters. When all the pressure's on their shoulders, on the road, in the horseshoe, it lined up perfectly for them last year. An Ohio State team that wasn't hitting their stride at that point of the year, and they had every reason to pull. They should have won that game. If not for some blunders down at the goal line, Penn State would have won that game against Ohio State, but they didn't. Why? It seems to always fall on James Franklin's shoulders. It fell on Jim Harbaugh's shoulders until he got over the hump. I'm not giving you that spot until you can prove it to me that you can get over the hump, which is the exact reason why I'm giving the number one spot to Oregon. Yes, Dante Moore is the quarterback, but similar with Ohio State, Oregon has proved that it does not matter who is at the helm for quarterback. They just go out and they win football games. Dan Lanning has already won the conference as we've seen it. Penn State hasn't done that. Penn State hasn't won the conference, if not for an Ohio State ineligibility clause, in the history of the Big Ten as we know it right now. Dan Lanning and Oregon have done that. I think they're just going to retool. They're going to refuel. And until Penn State proves it to me, that's how I think it's going to happen again. I think Oregon and Penn State are going to meet again in the Big Ten championship, and I think Oregon wins again.
That's the same. That's the same championship game I have.
It's. I mean,
isn't it the same championship game you have too, Ethan? Like, we all have the same top two.
I was more so ranking them in how good I think the teams are. More like a power ranking.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's how it should end up in the championship game then too, without divisions. So we all have.
Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you?
What? Don't say you miss divisions.
No.
Big Ten West forever.
Legends.
I think there's a really, really good chance that Illinois makes it to the Big Ten championship game.
I don't necessarily disagree. Like, I don't know if I would say it's a very good chance.
Very good chance is, I think there's a very good chance they go 10-2.
I think this is an interesting question to pose before we get into the bigger games this weekend. We've talked about our top five.
I think we'll have to do two episodes. I think we're going to have to cut this into two episodes.
Yeah, it don't matter. But, okay, interesting question then. We've talked about our top teams and a couple of surprisers. Who do you have falling through the cracks this year that people probably wouldn't expect if a team just really blew chunks?
Like, who do we think is going to blow chunks that people are, like, higher on?
Correct, yes.
Well, I think for Corey, we already heard it. I think it's Nebraska.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are high on Nebraska. So, Corey, give us a little bit into that.
I just don't think they're ready. Nebraska went as Raiola went last year. Like, we thought that they were going to take the next step because Raiola was playing so well. And then he just looked terrible the second half of the year. They got the big, quote-unquote, bowl win at the end of the year to give you some confidence. Similar to like what Michigan did, you know, beating Alabama, like in a game that didn't really matter, but you feel good leaving it based off of what you've seen and the things that you need to work on in the next year.
I would argue this. I would argue that game was bigger for Michigan because they showed, oh, hey, these are the guys that are going to be playing next year and look how good they're playing. Whereas with Nebraska, it was like, here's all your starters. And they're going to,
but like mentally too, because we've seen the mental aspect of the game in college football. Like, they hadn't won a bowl game in seemingly forever, and for them just to even come back to campus with a victory, that's something to build off of and be like, hey, this is where we finished. This is what we can build off of, and then, you know, stepping stone into the next year. It's not that I think Nebraska is going to be bad. It's just I don't think they're ready to take that next step into the conversation.
I'd say mine is Ohio State. I think there's a really good chance.
But I'm talking about a team that could like the bottom could fall out. You know, like not a team that you think might just.
I mean, the floor for Ohio State is 9-3.
Yeah, I'm talking.
But I think that would kind of be the bottom falling out for them.
I mean,
when was the last time they lost three regular season games?
Yeah, I guess that's fair in terms of
team. If Ohio State goes 9-3 and misses the playoff, that's the bottom falling out.
Yeah. All right.
Think of it this way. Think of it this way. I'm gonna redress it for you and serve it back to you. Ohio State loses week one to Texas. They proceed to lose to Illinois, lose to Penn State, and lose to Michigan. They're four biggest games of the season, and they lose all four, and they go 8-4.
It would be literally a mirror image of Michigan's season following their Natty.
You would never have seen a fan base come off a national championship and demand a coach be fired more in your entire life. Because there are still, I see them on Twitter. Granted, Ohio State fans, you might say, those are the crazy, stupid Ohio State fans, blah, 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 blah. I still see people talk about, I wish he would have lost the Natty so we could have fired him because he can't beat Michigan. I still see it. I do. And I'm like, you guys are insane. You're insane, people. You just won a national championship. Keep your head coach. Also, I like the fact that he can't beat us. But I'm telling you, if they went 8-4, granted, he's not going to get fired. But the fan base would go nuts. They'd go crazy. Alex, yours, before we got to sign off.
Mine is Indiana. I have Indiana going 6-6. And honestly, my biggest reason for it, I am likening this Indiana season similar to Florida State's season last year. Because think about what Norvell did at Florida State. In back-to-back years, he went heavy in the portal for guys at key positions. And in the first year, it worked out fantastic. Jordan Travis took them to an undefeated regular season, obviously had the tragic injury, and they didn't end up making the playoff because of it. But then you got the other side of that transfer portal coin when it doesn't always work and you don't get the perfect pieces and things can fall apart really quickly. Indiana returns 4 starters on offense, 4 on defense. They do bring in a very talented quarterback from Cal, Fernando Mendoza. But I think it's very much in the realm of possibilities that maybe these new transfers don't click as well as last year's do. And remember, Indiana's record, we all said it, they had a cupcake schedule. And what if those games flip this year? Their schedule's a little bit tougher. People start looking at Indiana differently. Maybe they're the hunted instead of the hunter this time. So I think Indiana this year is going to take a very significant step back compared to what they did last year.
I like the comparison to Florida State. And I really like the fact because how many of those kids came over from James Madison, followed him over, and they're super seniors. And like you said, Lightning, I don't hate it. I hate their schedule as far as like their ability to lose 6 games. They play a dog water schedule.
Well,
I mean, they really do.
Illinois is going to be a very tough game. They play Iowa and Oregon on the road. Maryland should be a cupcake. Wisconsin should probably be a cupcake.
I think Wisconsin's going to be bad, but Luke, we'll see.
Cupcake's the wrong
cupcake. I'll say it.
Yeah, cupcake's the wrong word, but you know it.
You want to talk about a team that the bottom could fall out of. Wisconsin could win 4 games.
I agree, but they're kind of expected to do that. I want to say their over-under win total is like 5.5 or something in FanDuel. Like, it's not good. It's not good. So we've got 2 minutes until we get kicked off of this recording. We are going to record a second episode are we staying on right after this one?
Yeah. Yeah, they probably will not come out right at the same time.
Yeah,
we might save the picks for a little way later in the week. Maybe release that on Friday.
Yeah, this next one will be shorter.
Yeah,
it'll probably be like 30 minutes. But in closing, we are back, so we're gonna do this every
rate, review, subscribe.
Yes, exactly. Do all the things. I forget the social handles off the top of my head. I'm shaking off the rust, but they will be mentioned. So thank you for listening. Again, follow, subscribe, all that stuff. Make sure you listen to the picks episode coming out later this week. And guys, college football's back. Let's have a freaking fall.